My guest in the studio is a guitarist and composer from here in Sydney. His emerging career so far, he's played alongside many of Australia's leading musicians, including Mike Nock, Brendan Clarke, Andrew Dickerson, Dave Goodman and Richard Magrath, and has recorded with First Call New York City musicians bassist Marco Panaccia and drummer Ulysses Owens Jr. He completed his Bachelor of Music in Jazz Performance at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music in 2012, where he held a Board of Governors Merit Scholarship. He's appeared at many of the country's leading festivals, including the Manly Jazz Festival, the Noosa Jazz Festival, and the Darling Harbour Jazz Festival. In December last year, he released his debut album Inverno, a collection of original music developed over the past few years with his quartet, featuring pianist Steve Barry, bass player David Groves, and drummer James Waples. Nick Vardenegger, welcome to Now's the Time.
Thank you.
Nick, how did you become interested in music? Who was your earliest influence?
Originally, it was sort of through my mother, who was a music educator, still is, and she has sort of a rich interest in music. So as a youngster, I was going along to her early childhood music classes, and then I actually started out learning keyboard when I was four, and that didn't go so well. And then a few years later, when I was about seven, I mentioned, you know, I'd like to start learning guitar. And then funny enough, sort of through my early childhood, I was actually really into gymnastics. That was my thing. So it wasn't actually until I was around to the early teenage years that I was still learning guitar all that time, but then the guitar became a much bigger part of my life, and I started playing more at school, and sort of, yeah, sort of from there, that's how it sort of all began. And then after school, obviously, then I went and pursued studies at the Conservatorium of Music, and have been sort of really influenced in jazz since then, yeah.
What profession do you think you would have been had you not become a musician?
I don't know, it's hard to say. I also have a sort of interest in graphic design and those sorts of things. So I think I've always been a creative person. So that was another avenue I was, you know, considering potentially. But yeah, music was always a big part of my life. So I think it was definitely going to be something to do with music, yeah.
And what do you think it was about the keyboard or the piano when you were four that wasn't quite attracting you?
I'm not sure exactly. Like, I mean, it could have been, I was just so young that, you know, I guess, you know, it's a hard instrument to try, and I think the coordination thing was really hard for me, you know, trying to, you know, get two, you know, have two hands just going and all that sort of thing. And then, yeah, I don't know. I think it's the same with a lot of people that they, you know, they sort of just find their niche, you know, with an instrument. So I think maybe, you know, it was just a matter of me finding, I was always interested in music, you know, before that. So I think it was just a matter of time then until, yeah, I found the guitar and that was the thing for me.
Your abiding influences as far as jazz is concerned, are they necessarily guitarists? I mean, in the whole pantheon of jazz.
I'd say definitely there's a huge sort of guitar influence in my music. Like guitarists like Pat Metheny, you know, lots of sort of those modern guitar players now, like from New York, I'm really inspired by a lot of those guys, and also guys like Peter Bernstein. And then really when I first got into jazz, it was sort of through Grant Green and Wes Montgomery that I started learning the language of jazz. But definitely, like, conceptually, I'm very influenced by Miles, you know, Miles Davis. I love his music. Wayne Shorter too. Herbie Hancock, I'm also a huge fan of. A lot of pianists too. That's why I think this group, I've wanted to have it. I love the sound of the piano in my writing. I'm very influenced by sort of harmony and progressions and that sort of thing. So I think definitely there's been a mix of influences, but I would say definitely sort of a very strong influence from the harmonic front from both pianists and guitarists, definitely.
Do you still write at the piano, or is it something that you've given up years ago?
No, I don't play piano that often, actually. It's mainly writing on the guitar, and, you know, very rarely I might sort of find something on the piano or just hear what it sounds like on the piano. But it's definitely, yeah, I'm trying to write sort of all the time, and I keep coming up with new moods, new, you know, new colours that, you know, I'm trying. I've got a few things now I'm writing, and, you know, just trying to fit that jigsaw together, yeah.
And it obviously comes easy to you. I mean, this is an album full of your original music.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny with that sort of thing. I mean, I always wish that I did it more often, writing. It seems to be a thing for me that I get in the zone and, you know, I might get three or four, you know, tunes really quickly, you know, and then I mightn't write for a period of a few months and, you know, just be busy doing gigs or busy practicing other things, you know. So it's sort of something that can come easy to me, but it's not all the time it's that easy. Sometimes you've got to really work at it, yeah.
This album, Inverno, this is your first album. For listeners who want to check it out a little closer, you've got a website, the www.nickvardanega.com. Now, it's NICVARDANEGA.com. I recently read an article which suggested there are three types of musicians: those who play from the ego, those who manage to put ego aside while they play, and very few who channel something outside themselves while they play, such as Coltrane. What category, if this is so, what category do you put yourself in?
Yeah, I mean, that's a deep question. yeah, it's very true, I guess. There's, you know, lots of examples I could think of musicians in those categories. I guess, you know, I would hope to be, you know, sort of in that second category that you said, sort of, you know, trying to put the ego aside as much as possible. I think a lot of the musicians that I like have that sort of understatement about what they do and, you know, can sort of support the group, you know, can sound great in any setting. And it's more from how they make other people sound good that makes them sound good. So I think that's sort of been the principle that I've tried to, you know, abide by with my playing. And, but also that last category as well, I think, is true, that, you know, trying to sort of find other influences outside of music, you know, whereas this album for me is really influenced a lot by my Italian heritage and just, you know, different things conceptually, just, you know, that maybe aren't necessarily to music. So yeah, they're things that are really important to me.
You mentioned the idea of a concept with this album. Is that what you set out to do?
Not exactly, no. It was, like I mentioned earlier, you know, musicians sort of like Miles Davis and, you know, lots of other musicians that have records that are very conceptually clear, you know, from the first track to the last track, just everything. The musicians, they're all kind of on the same page the whole way through. And, you know, it's a real body of work that you get left with. So that's always sort of been something I've liked to do. You know, there's that sort of temptation to do a bit of this, a bit of that, throw it all together and, you know, there's a record. But I think with this record, that was one reason why I wanted to record, is I had this collection of music and it was all sort of from the early days, I guess, of my music and my writing and things like that. And then it was sort of really after we recorded it, and, you know, we recorded it in the Blue Mountains in winter. And then, like I said, a lot of it stems from my Italian heritage and things. So like the title of the record, Inverno, is actually Italian for winter. So there's lots of things sort of from that, which, yeah, it was after actually that I'd sort of done the whole process of recording that I then thought, well, yeah, there's definitely a concept and I can kind of tie that together when releasing it.
Across the Skies. Nick, I'm going to ask you a little bit about this.
This is a song, actually, that I had recorded the most sort of recent, was the most recent tune that I'd written before we recorded. And it was one of the things, you know, in the studio, we tried it a few different ways with the piano. Yeah, it was sort of had a different feel to some of the other songs on the record. And then the pianist, actually, Steve Barry, mentioned that, you know, maybe I should try this on a Rhodes. And so we did one take on the Rhodes, the last take, and that was the one we used. So it sort of got a bit of a different feel to the rest of the record. I've got a bit more sort of overdrive on the guitar and yeah.
Nick, how do you approach communicating musically with an audience in a live setting?
I think sort of a lot of it is just trying to, I guess, sort of tell a story, you know, as much as you can, sort of through your music, and trying to have, I guess, sort of like a bit of development, you know, within the band as well, and sort of between solos. I think that's something I'm trying to be more and more mindful of, you know, when I'm playing live, just trying to be really in the moment. And I think if you're doing that, then you're sort of able to connect to the audience and try and just, you know, leave the piece as much open as you can, you know, to sort of improvising and letting, yeah, just the guys sort of inspire you on the bandstand as well. So I think that's sort of been the most important thing for me, you know, is just sort of to take the music that I've written and when I'm performing it, just try and be as sort of honest as I can in that moment. And I think that's the best way to communicate, yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned the word honesty there, and it's probably one of the most vital things as far as being able to communicate with an audience, isn't it? If your music is honest and it's coming from the heart and it's not something contrived,
yeah,
then people are going to pick up on that.
Yeah.
Can I ask you now just about guitarists? Because I sometimes get the impression that guitarists sort of share closer bonds than other instrumentalists. Do you think that's true?
Do you think in terms of the instrument itself, or?
Yeah, I think guitarists, there are closer bonds between guitarists simply because of the guitar. You know, it is quite an iconic instrument.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting. I got asked about recently what, the guitar and jazz sort of about that, what it does for me. And I guess, when you think about guitar and jazz, it doesn't quite have that same figure maybe that, say if you're out to be a rock guitarist or something, you've got guys like Jimi Hendrix or Eric Clapton that, are just so hard to bypass because they're just so iconic, there's such a thing. But I think in in jazz there is those guitar hero sort of elements, but I think that it's been an instrument that's sort of become very versatile and very you've got guys like Scofield that take it sort of from that funk category, and you've got guys like Jim Hall that are more just sort of really understated with a really nice tone and sort of everything in between. So I think, yeah, like maybe in jazz there's sort of a little bit, I would sort of think maybe it's not quite, it's a little bit more varied, and mm-hmm. I think that, we sort of borrow from, like I was saying before, pianists, I don't really think of myself so much as a guitarist. I think of myself, trying to, approach harmony from a pianist point of view, or trying to approach, projection on the instrument with, soloing like a horn player, like how does Freddie Hubbard play? How can I get that kind of thing on the guitar, So there's probably a little bit more crossovers, I think I would say, with influences.
So you're approaching it more from an ensemble perspective.
Yeah, definitely.
What's your biggest fear as an artist?
I guess there's always that thing of, I guess trying to come up with something that's, either unique or sort of worthwhile, of, something substantial. I think that's, it's a hard thing, I guess, when you've got so much music that's already been created. There's so many people that are, are doing their music and things like that. I think that's something that you sort of, I feel like I don't want to sort of stifle the, just doing another sort of thing, So I think it's, I guess for me, it's just important to try and be as honest again, like to what I want to do, sort of play the music I want to play, and, and try and that way, try and find sort of my own little place, within the music, and not try and compete, I guess, with anything else or, yeah.
So be original at the same time as being accessible.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
What particular qualities were you looking for when you chose Steve Barry, the pianist, and David Groves, the bass player, and James Waples, the drummer?
Definitely, I think with my music, I sort of come out of the jazz tradition, and that, I'm trying to look for players that are great improvisers and have a strong grounding in their instrument and technical ability and all that sort of thing. So that's really important to me, that, I have sort of people that can really play and on their instrument are great instrumentalists. But also the other side of that is trying to find guys that then have all that but can then contribute to a band setting and an ensemble situation and be able to sort of gel as a unit. So that was sort of a huge criteria that I've sort of had putting the band together, was having guys that were sort of on the same wavelength in terms of playing and influences and styles and that sort of thing. But, guys too that I knew I could trust with my music, I didn't have to say too much, it was, okay, here's the song, and, we played a couple of times, and basically I knew sort of what they would go for, their first thing that they would try would be pretty close, to what I wanted. So, yeah, it was definitely, both those things, both their ability and then just their instincts as well.
And you achieved this recording in what, a little over 2 days?
Yeah, that's right. We did 2 days, like 2 full days in the studio as a group recording the songs, and then I actually went back up to the studio a few weeks later and just did a few overdubs on the acoustic guitar and just to add that little bit of production to some of the songs. But basically, yeah, it was just 2 days as a group in the studio just playing the songs. Yeah.
And I noticed as well that it's been mastered by Nate Wood in New York. How did that come about?
Basically, like I was looking into different ways, to sort of get it mastered and things like that. And I had heard a few records that had been mastered by Nate over there, who's a great, incredible instrumentalist, multi-instrumentalist, and also mastering engineer. And so, yeah, it was very easy, like just basically emailed him. And then, these days with just file transfer, you just send the mixes off. And then, I was actually hoping, I was in New York in September, I was actually hoping I was going to get the chance to to maybe watch him do it, you know, sit, you know, go visit him in the studio, but that didn't work out with his schedule and that. But yeah, it was just, it was really that simple, just to sort of send it off to him, and then he just sent it back, you know, all finished. So yeah, that's one of the advantages now, I guess. Yeah.
Now, independently released, how do you go about distributing this? Do you use digital channels, or is there still such thing as a CD baby, or, you know, how do you go about doing this when it's all independence, all your resources?
Yeah, yeah, it's a hard one these days, you know, trying to get sort of find ways, you know, to sell music and things like that. This, for this one, I have gone through CD baby, and that gives me distribution through iTunes, which is very valuable these days. And then I also have a Bandcamp profile, which is a common thing now. A lot of people are selling their music on there, so that's easy for me, just to, people can place orders for physical CDs and I can just mail them out myself and keep track of things that way. And you can also get digital downloads as well from there. I've also got it for sale in Birdland Records in the city, and things like that. So yeah, there's a few different resources. Another thing too, Backyard Music Collective, which is sort of like a
independent artist,
some stalls, I think, in Newtown markets that are being set up with lots of local music. So there's a few sort of initiatives like that now where, yeah, we're sort of trying to, that's a friend of mine that runs that, you know, trying to sort of, yeah, help each other out, I guess. We're selling all this all this music that we're doing independently, and trying to get it out there. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
What about the idea of streaming? It seems becoming very, very popular, but I get the impression that there's not a lot in it for the artists. Have you explored that idea yet?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know too much about it, to be honest. I haven't signed up to any of the, I think, Spotify or things like that. Yeah, I'm not really into it. I'm a bit old school, that I'm the sort of person that likes the physical CD. You know, I have a collection at home of CDs, and to me that's just, you know, the real deal, you know, getting the CD, holding it and seeing the artwork, and, you know, seeing all the info. I like, you know, reading the liner notes and seeing where it was recorded. So
yeah, it's all part of the experience, isn't it?
Yeah, for me, I'm still trying to keep that going as much as I can. Yeah.
Good on you. Nick, what's on the horizon beyond the launch, and what's in the medium term plan for you?
Well, definitely I hope to really, I guess, from this album now, try and get some more live playing opportunities, both with this group and then, you know, potentially some other groups that I might form in the future. So that's definitely a big priority, is trying to play live, because I think that's the way that you really get the point of getting the music developed to then record again. So that's, you know, and that's another goal of mine, is to do another album sometime in the near future. Also, I sort of see a real goal of trying to spend some more time in New York over there, sort of getting some private lessons and trying to play with some more musicians over there. I still feel like I've got a lot to learn from that scene there, and there's a lot of inspiring things that come every time I've been there. So I see that as a real way of improving my music, and the goal is just to keep improving, really, as a musician. Keep working hard and just doing all the things you need to do to keep playing better music, and just hopefully keep making more albums like this.
Thanks very much for joining us in the studio tonight.
My pleasure.